Welcome to That Creator Life, a show where we discuss the process, the struggles, and the wins of content creation. My name is Zach. I'm a YouTuber and content strategist helping you start your journey. Hi, guys, and welcome to a new episode of the Content Creator Life. Today, we have a special guest, Vidi. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. At least I got my coffee, so I'm good to go. So Vidi, before we start, can you tell us a bit about yourself and your background so the listeners and the viewers can know you?
Okay, so hi, I'm Vidi. I am a scientist by profession, but on social media, I'm an illustrator or a sketch and book artist. And I also, on a separate social media page, I also mentor young students to find universities and colleges and scholarships outside their countries. So that's what I have, 3 careers now in a way, and I keep juggling them every day.
So you're a true poly worker, right?
Yes, that's why I'm on that platform, really.
Yeah, same. Okay, can you tell us a bit about the content creation journey that you had and what kind of content you create?
Back in 2020, I was just doing it for myself. I was uploading art. Starting with the art, yeah. I was just doing it and uploading on my personal account, and my friends were the only ones who were just saying, yay, that's great, nice. And also when it comes to the mentoring part, I was doing it within my alma mater. So mm-hmm. The students who are just following, doing the same degree as I did, they come and they say, oh, we know that you were used to mentor so well. Will you do it for us as well? And okay. And everything just like that. But in 2020, a girl on Instagram, she had uploaded art on her own, and she said that she was accepting orders for art. And her art was something which I used to draw as a 2nd grade child, and she was of my age. And I said, if she is so confident in selling it, what I used to do it years ago, maybe I should be a bit more confident about it, putting myself out there. So then I started putting all my art in public. I started experimenting with it. In the beginning, I started with the Procreate digital art. It was not so good, but now I'm doing pretty good in digital, and as well as paintings, as well as sketches, and So I'm happy with it. It's been 2 years now being officially eaten. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the career as well, I started just 2 months ago because people started asking for tips on my art page, and it became a bit of a mess. So then I thought, no, that's something else.
Yeah, makes sense. I had a question for you. Was the pandemic a part of you going into exploring your hobbies and passion? Was that an effect on you?
In a way, yes. I didn't have much of an offline work. I had, but not much of it. At pursuing my degree, at my master's. And in pandemic, it seemed to have more time for hobbies. I was also away from home for the first time. So in my free time, I was not really talking or much. I was just drawing and putting it. So yeah, a big role, I would say. Okay. Now, of course, now everything is open, so it's a bit tough, but that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason I ask this question is because a lot of creators that I interview, they have the same thing about pandemic being either like a disaster when it comes to creating content, or it's a way for them to get like more creative. They have more time. So it's hit or miss depending on the person. I want to ask you more about the process of creating that artwork. I actually love your artwork. It seems that it's coming from the heart. Can you share with us a bit about your process? Like, the question would be how your content day look like. So from the start to the end.
So since I have a full-time job, and the timings are a bit flexible, so I can adjust my day based on that. So either I wake up early and I draw, and then I'm sitting there clicking photos and scheduling it for being ready with that. Or when I come back home in the evening, I am doing the same thing. Coming up with ideas is something I have to decide already. Either I have to choose throughout my day or on the weekends what would I be drawing. Or I just sit on a weekend and just draw like 10 artworks, and then I'm just in the week I'm just posting it. Art is something, of course, you cannot really find inspiration. You cannot draw it just like that if you cannot draw at the moment. the art work would turn out to be pretty bad. So to do justice to that, I take breaks. But when I'm really in the mood, I try to just make as much as I can.
Yeah, it makes sense because you want to like condense that time where you get the creative flow. So making bulk creation and then dripping the content over the week. Which platform do you focus on mostly?
I focus on Instagram only, and for the career one, I started with LinkedIn. On Instagram, it's not much. On Instagram, it's not much of a big thing, but on LinkedIn, I am very regular.
Okay, that's nice. So when it comes to creating that artwork, you mentioned something like Procreate, other tools. Can you share with us a bit about the tools and the services you use to create the
art? I make two kinds of art. No, three. First is for conventional. You're painting, you're sketching, your pen or pencils or anything. That's one thing. Second is Procreate. When I started back with my account public, then I started with Procreate. So,
sorry, is that on an iPad, right?
Yeah. It's exclusively for iPad, if I'm not wrong. Yeah. The super intuitive, probably the best platform to learn how to illustrate and to keep illustrating. Of course, Photoshop is the king, but Procreate does a pretty good job too. I sometimes use Photoshop and Illustrator, but I still have a long way to go, really. And the third kind is graphic designing, combining the graphic design elements on Canva, let's say, and make something out of it. So it works very well because they have a lot of free elements, small elements, and you can combine them and make some shape out of it, some design out of it.
Okay, so you're basically taking the work that you did on Procreate and you export it to Canva. That's what you said, right?
No. I make separately on Canva.
Okay.
These three are separate. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea to put it there and do something about it. But on Canva as well, just using the basic elements they have there, you could make some art, some geometric art for it.
I love Canva. So I come from a background of graphic design. And I almost stopped using Illustrator unless I'm doing some professional work. But when it comes to expressing myself, I'm using Canva most of the time. And I love it. It's so easy, so intuitive.
I know. I mean, in the beginning, I think 4 or 5 years ago, when I used to tell that I know Canva, we would Photoshop.
Yeah.
Now everybody has Canva.
It's mostly like Photoshop is the challenge for a designer to show their strength and flex a little bit. But you don't really need it, to be honest, like for most of the work, especially on social media.
It's a really, if you are going to make like big posters or standees or something, I think, anyway, it's good.
Yeah. When it comes to the content creation, so you have a full-time job, but at the same time, you're following your passion, you're creating artwork. Can you share with us a bit any challenge you had going from that kind of like lifestyle to a different mode of creation? The reason I'm asking this question is because a lot of people who want to start creating content, they usually have this struggle or this obstacle in front of them about time, about commitments and all this kind of stuff. So how did you navigate around those?
For a long time, I have always been doing two things, at least two things. There can be more. So when I was giving really important exams in schools or in university or preparing for something big, even then, my day used to be split in half, that I'm doing studying half a day and I'm also drawing, doing something else. So it has worked for me for years, more than 10 years, I would say. That's why maybe it's okay. Art is my passion, but I will not let go of my job because of that. Job now, it's going to be a PhD soon. So I'm not going to let go research for that. But research is something I want to contribute with, and art is something which makes me happy. So are two different things, right? It's very much possible to juggle both. Of course, you have to be really time-bound. You really have to sacrifice a lot of things, like partying, just like that.
Yeah.
I hardly go, really. I have no time on weekends. Other than that, of course, strict time management and not feeling guilt if you're not able to give time that particular day. And just keeping a free zone on the weekends, for example, where you can catch up. I think that's pretty much a good idea to go about it. Of course, if that's a passion for which you can give up your job or your current education or your degree, then yes, go ahead. But if you feel caught up, that it's a good hobby, but maybe it will not be as stable as current job. I don't think you have to let it go. Anyways, one time an artist on Instagram only, he told me, he makes crazy reels, like crazy art editing videos.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. He said that you read all about algorithms and what, it doesn't matter. That he did a social experiment. He just posted his art every day at 10, okay, 10 a.m. And in 2 months, one day he didn't. And someone, few messages came, said, oh, it's 10 a.m. Your art is not there. What's wrong? Something wrong? You know, ultimately, Instagram, okay, it's an app, but people inside that are not robots. They are people. So if you made good content, the timing and other things, I have not seen that work if my content is bad. Content is good, is going to stay for a long time. People will revisit it. I revisit some things. Many people revisit what made them feel, what's helpful for them. Yeah, so timing and all, as long as you're giving something great, it doesn't matter.
I love this one. I love what you said, because basically it's about keeping the momentum, but not stressing yourself out all the time. Because a lot of creators, they face this problem when they make a schedule that's very tight. And if they don't really post on according to that schedule, then they feel, like you said, guilty. They feel the pressure of, oh, I'm not going to succeed because I'm not to that level of competition. And then what happens is that you become overwhelmed and then you stop. And that's what happens to a lot of creators. So I love what you said. Just basically post whenever you feel it's going to, you have to be consistent, of course, but you just don't stress yourself too much about it. And the momentum is what matters. If you post like 80% of the time, it's better than 5% or zero. So.
And if you post 100% and then you burn out and you're not posting for a month, then
yeah, exactly.
Back to zero.
Right? Yeah, that's usually what happens, really.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about the time management and how you can actually be consistent. So I want to move on talking about the psychological part of creating the content for you. Is there something that you do on that specific day for creating content that kind of helps you bring the flow back up? And for me personally, like the gym or having a swim brings me back into the mood of creative thinking. And everybody is different. So tell us a bit about your mindset when it comes to creating content and getting that flow back.
Okay, so I am a serial planner. I need to have everything planned in the day or week or month even. For me, it always works. If I, let's say it's taking me, if I'm in a creative at the time, it's taking me 2 hours to make, let's say 5-10 art pieces, small, big, whatever. Instead, I block, let's say 6 hours, even if, and then I am doing, maybe wondering, maybe referring to something, or maybe trying new colors. And since I get very irritated if my team doesn't go, so I give a lot more time than I need so that I can experiment here and there. I can really be slow about it, enjoy. For me, nothing else works but just to sit, spread all the colors, all the sheets, all the iPad here, charger here, everything is here, and then I can just make it and also click photo, or if I'm recording video, I can record at the time. For me, if I see something in front of me, then I am very creative. But if something is in the cupboard, then I just lose the creativity. If I can't see my colors, I don't know what to do about it.
Okay.
So maybe it works for some people. For me, it works for sure. To see everything in front, then I can do it.
Is there like something you do before and after, or maybe before, close the door, put some poster, do not disturb? Is there something you do around you in the house that kind of puts you into this focus mode?
I empty the bed and I just start collecting things, and I just spread them around, really spread them around. Not kidding. My husband is not very happy with that. He's a mess. But that's something I just tell him already. Okay, I'm going to make a mess here.
Just accept it.
Okay, no problem. You telling me, just please clean it up before sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's it. Before and after, I don't have anything particular. Because as I told you that I also do it on weekdays after work. So it's always just, you have to relax and then maybe do something. I would like to have something, a routine though. That's a good idea. Never thought about it.
Yeah, there's a book I've been reading called What is it again? One second. I think it's really good when it comes to finding the focus, because this book is about 4 hours or maybe 6 hours in a day. It's called At Your Best. So At Your Best, it's really good. Yeah, by Carrie Newhoff. Yeah, and he talks about everybody have a green zone every day. So the thing is, you have to find, you know, the most important work you want to do and put it into the green zone. So this way you can be more effective. And it's just like the science, actually, you're a scientist, so you're going to appreciate this. The science like tells us with the data that every human being will have like few hours a day of actual focus, like real creative focus, no disruption. And we try sometimes to put a lot of stuff into our day and we tend to be inefficient about it. So finding that green zone and then putting the most important work in it, that's how you can actually do more in less time. So I love this book. It's really nice. I'm going to put it in the show.
I would like to read.
Yeah.
I love self-help books. It's
Can you share with us some of your favorites?
Oh, that's one. My favorite of all titles called How to Get From Where You Are to Where You Want to Be.
Nice. I love the title.
by the same author as Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Oh, okay.
Same guy. He tells a lot of actionable things, but the best part of that book is that it gives a lot of real life examples of people who really did something related to. Yeah. I like the example part, and I've been reading it since I was in school, I think now 6-7 years maybe. I always reread it when I have something important coming up. So that book basically says that in a way it gives an image that they did it from scratch. You can do it. And then they said how to do it. Then there's a process, the method. It's a great book. And then I have more. I should have known.
Yeah, we're going to make a show note for all the stuff you talk about. Yeah. So one question I have that kind of comes from what we talked about when it comes to organizing your day. Have you ever faced any technical, psychological issues that you had to overcome? And how that's the kind of the $1 million question for content creation. Because we tend to think that we're going to have 100% days all the time, but that's not reality. So the trick or the success part is how to find something that kind of bounce you back and gives you that energy to continue. Because 99% of people quit very quickly.
Especially in current times, recent reels and videos and everything. And that's what I'm struggling with, because I am an artist. I am doing other things too, but I am not a video editor. I'm a videographer. It is a bit sad that now art is all about how you show it in a video, but it is important too. So whoever is starting out or whoever wants to improve, I have been trying to improve with learning how to edit videos in different ways. But it's way slower for me. I don't really have time. But those who have time, they should focus on video part a lot. Because right now, if they have some great thing, they can show it, and without really asking someone else to promote for them. This is more organic. If you can have really good.
Absolutely. Video. Yeah, as somebody who's involved in this space, like I can tell you, reels are just a low-hanging fruit, especially on Instagram, Facebook, and because they're trying to compete with TikTok and even YouTube Shorts. So the whole thing about like long aspect portraits kind of stuff and the short format, those videos, they are the ones that do well because the algorithm is still organic when it comes to those.
Yes. So those who are really starting out from scratch, they could start with learning how to edit videos, how to make videos, and then they can show what they really do, or what they're really good at. I think these go hand in hand now. Maybe in a few years or maybe a year it would change, but right now it's the rage.
It's not too late, folks. You heard it from Vidi. It's not too late.
I am also struggling, and I feel sometimes that I should hire a videographer instead, but I have to say, I really want to learn first. I am doing good here and there, but I think I'll stop motion.
Are you using just have a question for you. Are you using like the Instagram Reels option, or are you recording separately and then trying to put on the Reels? Or have you tried?
If I record face to face, my face in front and all, then Instagram works very well. Of course, it crashes sometimes.
They have a problem with the app.
that sucks. Even if I have some art process and all recording, then I use other apps or my own camera, just the digital phone camera. And then I use other apps and then the final product I just post there. Instagram has a lot of glitches nowadays, so I don't like to risk there.
Yeah, even for me, like when I do some reels, I'm starting to use TikTok now. I found like a modded APK on Android, which lets you save the video, make the video on TikTok, save it without the watermark, and then you can export to Reels on Instagram. Because like I said, Instagram Reels is not really, it's not a good app. They need to work on it.
Recording.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes even if you save some drafts, you could lose them. It's, oh my God, I just wasted a lot of time.
Yeah, on my phone. So I use phone and iPad, phone is Android. So on phone, when I save drafts, then they never show the option of drafts.
Yeah, but it's really frustrating.
Yeah, and on iPad, they update faster on Apple. So
yeah, on iOS, they give it more priority. But even on iOS, I have both like iPhone and Android. And on my iPhone, it's like sometimes crashes. And it's like you said, it's not reliable, especially for making videos. So the trick I found is using TikTok and then exporting them. Go ahead.
One last thing. What I use is that I record just say in 5-6 seconds and then save it and remove it. And then
I see. The video. Yeah, short video is more reliable than a longer one.
More than 30 seconds, 1 minute, no, never.
It's too much for it. So Vidya, if there is somebody starting today and they want to get into content creation, whether it's for art, for reels, for any kind of content they want to create, can you take yourself back in time? And what would you do differently if you started today? So basically, it's about you going back in time, but this also kind of is an advice for people starting today. So take yourself back and what would you do differently if you started today?
I think I would have started with knowing the professional photography, videography and editing aspects, because we think that whatever we do, that matters and not really how you post it. But we are also visual people. We see things. We also like posts which look good, which are presented good. If you have a great art, but you just click art in low lighting or blurry or whatnot, you're going to like it. I am not going to like it there. So I would like to focus more on, of course, start with video editing, experiment with videos, and then go forward with it. And of course, know that you don't need to post every single day. You just need to post consistently. That's what now I know. That even if you're posting every Tuesday, every Saturday, Sunday, just do it every Saturday, Sunday. No, not just like that. Not posting in 1 month, let's say 10 days, and next month, not.
Yeah, so basically be consistent in terms of how many times you post, but it doesn't mean you have to put too much content every day or every week. So just find your flow.
And if you cannot sing, dance, or do other things which look cool on social media, it doesn't matter as long as you have some good content which either helps people or it makes them think a lot, that will be more than enough to attract. Now I read a report by Instagram or other people saying that now people are bored of trending. We want some good content. They want to learn something.
Yeah, it's basically what I tell my audience or my clients, like you want to focus on education or entertainment. And the best one is edutainment. So education and entertainment at the same time. And those are the ones that really work, especially evergreen, like for long term. But if you want to do content that's selfish, just about you, look at me, I'm cool. Those things are not going to take you far.
For example, my career page is relatively new. It has something like a bit more than 200 followers only. But when I had 100, I started getting requests for giving advice when it comes to career. And also before I reached 200, I got 3 clients. I have a list of people who want a chance after them. So really the follower count didn't matter, but I was posting something useful and people saw that it worked for them. So they're just coming back. So again, you don't have to start when you have 10K. You can start at 100. It's okay.
Yeah.
100. Just 100 followers. Yeah, of course. So one thing, learn videography. Second thing is be consistent on your own time frame, on your own schedule. You don't have to care about algorithm or whatever other people say. The third thing is, of course, start, you can get clients or get earn money, or you sell your business and your stuff at a very low follower count, as long as it's great. Whatever you're selling is great and it's useful. So no, don't care about followers. Of course, it helps a lot, but you can start beforehand. You don't have to wait for that confidence after 5,000 or 100,000 followers. You can be confident beforehand.
Which brings us to the next thing I want to talk about. Any advice you have for people who are hesitant? So you talked about the things that you could do differently if you go back in time. But now think of somebody who has maybe similar conditions like you. They have a full-time job. Maybe they're scientists. Maybe they work in an office and they want to start doing some side project on social media, creating content. But they have this imposter syndrome that we all suffer from. Is there anything you want to say to them that inspired them to start now?
I would like them to know since beginning that why they are starting. Is it the reason that they just want to get a lot of collaborations, free gifts, money? Then they should, of course, go in trends quickly. That's a quick way, of course. If they, let's say, when it comes to the mentoring part, I'm doing it to Indian students because I want to give back. I don't live in India and I have always been patriotic. That's a way for me to give back to the country, to my nation. So yes, if someone is patriotic and wants to show it in some way, and if their job doesn't allow them directly, they could do it. So somehow, if they want some sense of fulfillment, they know what can give them fulfillment. So they should focus on the content, how good the content is, how useful it will be for people. If they're going to get away from professional stress and they just want to relax, let the art or anything similar, any artistic forms, then they should post based on what they want to learn, what they want to keep learning, a journey of artistic journey. That's what I also didn't do good. I would like to. I will do it. That people will follow you. People will see you improve. People will see how you feel when you create something, how you feel about a particular artwork. And then they will also either be inspired or they would spread the word around that I like this artist, this person. I like the thought process. I like how the person is growing. So, of course, be clear if you're doing it for yourself, for giving it back to something, or you want to earn just the money part, but just the popular part. I'm not saying anything is good or bad. I'm just saying that if you're not clear, then you might get confused.
Have a good reason from the beginning.
Exactly. So some people, let's say, are making art just to get more clients or some deals. And if, let's say, I have faith that I am starting, I'm doing it for myself, but then I see them and I say, oh, they seem to be doing better when they get like this. If they're making trends, if they're creating trendy things and they're getting a lot of brand deals, I might do something wrong. But then it doesn't matter because that's not my goal. And that's probably that person's goal. So he's good, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. The reason why you start has to be really fulfilling, because otherwise you're going to quit early if you're thinking just about money or about getting followers. And a lot of people burn out because of those weak reasons. So if you have a strong one, you can actually continue even in the winter time. I really appreciate that advice. I think it's going to help a lot of people. So Vidi, we're almost done with the podcast, but before you go, can you tell us a bit about your next projects and plans and what you see yourself maybe 5 years from now, 2 years from now, in terms of content creation?
It will change crazy. That will be not the same as it was. In terms of content creation, I have some mentoring projects, which I'm currently doing my clients. There more. I would like to increase that and also put that this is how I mentored and there are some results. When it comes to art, I think I would like one of those art challenges, a particular theme, and then you make a series out of it. That's a plan of mine, and I want to make many series, especially related to science, because scientific illustration is not something which is around, at least on Instagram, and people are misinformed. We saw that in pandemic, right? I would like to go in that based on the knowledge, of course, I have, and of course, I can draw. That's one of the sides to it. And of course, I would like to have my own merchandise. I have some, but it's not easy to ship in this country. Maybe I'll have my own merchandise and I'll just print it and wear it or keep it out.
And I think they also add in a feature where you can, when you can post some merchandise on the reels and people can click on it and buy directly.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I haven't tried it yet. I will try. But that's the goal, to start like a stationery merchandise store, online store maybe, or just mine, and where I can put the art I want. And of course, when it comes to mentoring, to give back, to help as many students as I can.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I think a lot of people will get a lot of value from your advice, especially people who have a similar kind of career path and they want to start creating content, but they're confused, they're hesitant, they have this kind of like fears. And if they see someone like you actually doing the work, it's going to help them a lot. So Vidhi, I really appreciate you being on the podcast, and I hope we can have more episodes in the future.
Yeah, one more left.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
One last thing is that your full-time job and your work on social media need not align. Mm. Some people think that, I am an engineer and social media, I want to, how can I sing as an engineer? Well, come on. It's a completely different world. So it need not align. That's what it worked for me. And nothing is aligned, all three, nothing.
And that's why we are both on polywork, because it's the idea of being a polymath, which is basically being a multidimensional human being. Like, you don't have to stick to one domain or one career path. Like, you can be like an engineer, like you said, and at the same time you're doing TikTok dances. So that's fine if it's your expression as a human being. And I feel that a lot of people need to hear this, because I think nowadays, especially with our culture and economy in general, well, everybody's trying to be more specialized, which is fine. But I'm like, for me, it's like one of my biggest idols is not like one of the recent scientists or the recent famous people. It's the people from the 1500s. So Da Vinci, like Leonardo da Vinci is my biggest idol, because he used to be everything, like a doctor, scientist, whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think we need to go back to that in a way, as a society in general. So yeah, don't be afraid, like Vidhi said, and get to it. Vidhi, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time and your advice.
Thank you very much. It was really fun.
And can you tell us before you go about your social tags and your social media accounts? So we're going to put them on the show note, but just tell people where they can find you.
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram and on my career page, .careers, Vidhi.careers, and Vidhi.colors. And on LinkedIn, you can find me as Vidhi Saravat.
Okay, and we're going to put all of them in the show notes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for watching the show. And if you want to see the artwork that Vidhi does, we're going to put it on the show notes. Thank you for watching, and see you the next time. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.